Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And it's just really great to be here this morning. It was pouring down rain, so I got a chance to wear my Buffalo Bills poncho for the first time. I finally had an excuse to wear that. Thanks a lot for that, Dad. Well, what is the biggest problem in the entire world? You might think it's crime or poverty or illiteracy. All kinds of horrible things out there. War. Maybe it's weather disasters. But I will have to tell you, it's actually government. Wrong government. Bad government. Improper forms of government. Government that doesn't help the people. Here's a prophecy for this end time regarding government. Isaiah 3 verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Now this especially applies to nations like America and Britain and the Jewish nation in the Middle East. But it really does apply basically everywhere you look all over the world too. Children, their princes, babes ruling over them. Is that not what we have in government today? Leaders who think like little children and not in a good way. People with the maturity of children, the thinking capacity of children, the emotional lack of control of children. It's just everywhere you look. This has been the case throughout history too, where governments just consistently fail the people. The communists have killed hundreds of millions of their own people in the Soviet Union, China, North Korea. The Muslims and the Catholics have been part of crusades that have killed many thousands of people too. It was Jewish leaders who decided that it would be best to put Jesus Christ to death. Monarchies throughout history have failed. I mean, there have been great times under monarchy, but there's also been times where the king gets upset that his wife didn't give him a son, and so he has her killed. That's obviously not a good thing. What about socialists? They dominate Europe today. The taxes are really high. The continent's being overrun by crime-committing migrants. Is that not an abuse of the people? What about liberals and conservatives? Yes, both of them. They both have a lot of failures. Liberals show no capacity for logical thought or emotional control. But at the same time, conservatives have compromised on every moral issue imaginable almost. And the people just continue to suffer everywhere you look around the world. This actually starts in the home with broken families. This is why our governments are so upside down and so dysfunctional. It starts in the home. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. Worldly leaders today are motivated by power, wealth, authority, influence, and lust. In fact, it's impossible for humans to be completely unselfish in their motives, no matter how well-intentioned we think we are. There's always that pull toward getting as much as we can for ourselves. That is clearly evident in leadership around the world today. Here's what it says in Luke 22, verses 24 through 27. This is Luke 22. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so, But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying, you shouldn't be getting or lusting after a position of power just so that you can reap benefits, but you should be looking to serve those under you. Here is what Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry writes on page 2 of the God Family Government booklet. God's family government doesn't go around looking for people's faults and sins. God's leaders search for ways to serve the people. That is God's law of love. If the leaders put themselves first, they are selfishly breaking God's law of love. That's found in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, where the commandments are described as love. Two parts. The first four of the Ten Commandments allow us to express love toward God, and the last six allow us to express love to the entire world. It's all about love. That is what government should be focused on. Loving, serving, caring, putting others above self. And yet we don't see great examples of that around us. Hardly ever. Here's what Mr. Flurry writes there on page 2. Again, this is from the God Family Government booklet. This booklet is available for free at thetrumpet.com. God's leaders serve God's family like a dad and mom should serve their family with love. Dad and mom also serve by example. So do God's leaders. That doesn't mean there isn't discipline. So like I said earlier, it does get back to the family. This is the most basic, fundamental unit on earth. Obviously, there are individual humans, but all of us have experience with some sort of a family, whether it is operating God's way or whether it has been broken, whether it is dysfunctional. But we have an experience through family. This is something we can all relate to, whether for better or for worse. This is a basic unit in society. We see what happens when we get the family wrong. Thankfully, there's a few instances where the family is done right. And when that happens, everyone around that family seems to be blessed as well. Good families are a blessing for society. Again, on page 2, Mr. Flurry writes, God is a family. He is inviting us to be a part of it. If we accept, we must obey God's loving family government. Absolutely. God is a family, and that's why physical families are so important. They are meant to be a replica of God's spiritual family, which we also have a chance to be a part of very soon. And we can even be a part of that in embryo today before spiritual birth. There is an opportunity for us to live God's way in our physical families, which then prepares us to be a part of God's spiritual family too. But there's that word again. It's in that quote, the word obey, the word that everybody hates. And yet it's the word that really does unlock so much tremendous peace and joy. And it helps us really unlock our incredible human potential too. The fruits of obedience and submission to God's family government are evident in the Philadelphia Church of God's work. This radio station, the Key of David television program, all the books and booklets and the various websites, happy people, strong families around the world who are members of the church, a ministry that lovingly guides and teaches and even corrects the right way. I mean, just look in the church at the families and how well the children are behaved because of the examples of their parents. The divorce rate is really, it's non-existent in God's church. There is a way of life that does lead to happiness in every area. And that includes our families. You see that in the work. You see that in all the families that support this work. It's loving God, family, government. Again, emphasis on the love. It's always about love. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that we're hated whenever we receive correction, especially when it comes from God's ministry. With people who we know love us, when they correct us, we have to be thinking that they have our best interest in mind. Here's what Mr. Fleury writes on page 3 of the God Family Government booklet. God gets specific in telling the ministers how to apply God's government. When correction is necessary, we are told how to do it. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Mr. Fleury says, the minister is to correct an elderly man as he would his own father, not rebuking, but entreating him. The approach is more gentle because of his position in the physical family. The physical family is a God-plane relationship. The father has an important role that must be respected. When the young men must be corrected, they are to be treated as if they were physical brothers of the minister. It is always family government. And I can say from experience, the amount of times I've been corrected over the years has really just helped me tremendously. And so many times I was corrected, it was done so tactfully and caringly that I didn't even realize it was correction until I thought about it again later on. It really is done with a lot of love. Now, of course, the correction has to get stronger if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. But it is still done in love even then. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Mr. Fleury writes, elderly women must be lovingly corrected as the minister would correct his own mother. The ministers are to treat the young girls as sisters and always to keep their thoughts pure toward them. This is the way men normally think about their sisters. And then verse 3 of 1 Timothy 5. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Mr. Fleury continues, the widows have no physical family. This is all the more reason why the minister must honor her as he would his own mother. It's easy to overlook a widow. God commands that we never neglect them, but honor them as royal members of God's own family. James 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's James 1, verse 27. That's what it's all about. It's about loving. It's about serving. Every aspect of God's government is love. Here in Edmond, in our PCG congregation, we have a Philadelphia club. And members have the opportunity to serve the elderly in the congregation, including the fatherless and the widows and the widowers, and even just elderly couples too. That is pure religion. Even lay members have a chance to do that. It's not always just the ministry that can help out like that. Now, of course, we're not all going around correcting each other, though, mainly the ministry is involved with that part of it, but we all have the chance to love and serve each other within the right government structure. It's also important for us to notice regarding God's government that it is one man rule. this isn't really considered a controversial topic until we apply it to a church. Doesn't a big business have a CEO? Doesn't a nation have a president or a prime minister or a king or a supreme leader? Isn't there always one man at the top or one woman in some cases? But why, when it comes to a church, is that all of a sudden a big problem in the minds of many people? Well, it is true that one-man rule can lead to tyranny. We've seen that throughout history on a national and an international level. However, when that one man is following Jesus Christ, it can lead to incredible fruits for God's church. Here's what Mr. Fleury writes on page 5. Again, the God Family Government booklet. Herbert W. Armstrong always said he was a father to all of us, either directly or indirectly. God used that man, and that man only, to teach us about the true family government of God in the end time. Mr. Armstrong fulfilled the prophecy in Malachi 4, verses 5 through 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we see here that learning about God's way of building family is a lifesaver. Because we learn about God's way of family, now we can escape punishment. God family, that's what we're talking about today. God's government. And it's all about family. It's all about love, all about service. We're all part of one family, one spiritual family, and we all have physical families where we can apply spiritual principles of government. But Mr. Armstrong really did pour so much effort into the Worldwide Church of God in the areas of raising up young people and strengthening families. Summer educational program really did rescue a lot of teenagers from the world. They had imperial schools for a time. They, of course, had Ambassador College. They had the youth Bible lessons, too. And so many different youth activities, like sports tournaments and get-togethers. The young people in the Worldwide Church of God thrived. And a large part of that was simply that Mr. Armstrong highly prioritized that. Building families the right way. You can see the fruits in the WCG, and those fruits are continuing today in the PCG. But we also have to realize that, and I've mentioned this just a little bit today, that government does come with correction. We have to think about correction the right way. Here's what it says in Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Definitely some strong language there in Hebrews 12. But if you feel like you're being corrected a lot, whether it's by ministry or family members or friends, depending on the situation, or people you work with, whatever it might be, well, maybe that's because God is trying to help you. In fact, it's definitely because God is trying to help you. You should feel good about the fact that you're still receiving correction. That means God hasn't given up on you yet. God's government structure is very plain, and it is explicitly laid out for us in the Bible. When it comes to families, It's God the Father at the head, Jesus Christ under him, and then the man after that over the woman and the children. God, Christ, man, woman, children. In the church, it's God, Christ, God's man, ministers, deacons, and lay members. Again, this is all clearly laid out. And in fact, a lot of it is laid out in the book of Ephesians. Here's what it talks about specifically regarding government in the family. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And it talks a lot about husbands loving their wives too. But it doesn't use that word submit when it's talking about husbands relating to their wives. They are submitting to each other in the fear of God, but they're not literally under the wife's rule. There is a big difference there. When it comes to the actual government structure, though, the wives are to submit to their husbands. That's there in Ephesians 5, verse 22. And in that same chapter, it reveals to us that the family government structure at home is to reflect God's church submitting to Jesus Christ. There is a beautiful picture, a wonderful vision wrapped up in God's family government. In the very next chapter, Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So I continued through verse 3 there. That's Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 5 shows that wives submit to husbands, and Ephesians 6 shows that children submit to their parents. So again, man, woman, then children. That's the hierarchy. And ideally, especially within God's church, God and Christ are over the man as well. But we even see in the world when humans build their families this way, man, then woman, then children, they are blessed. Those children certainly grow up to be contributing members of society. They're not a menace to their neighbors. They're not a threat to the community. They're hardworking. They're contributors. And they really do build and strengthen their communities. Just from the physical level, just from having that right traditional family structure, man over woman, woman over children, children obeying both the man and the woman, it works well. And you don't see all of these dreadful problems when the children come out of homes like that. They're not part of gangs. They're not running wild, attacking people on the street or in the park. They're not in constant confrontations with police. They're not trying to get the better of everyone else the rest of their lives in business or whatever the case might be. And that's just on the physical level, if human beings keep that right family structure. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sons grow up to become great husbands and fathers if they had great fathers to look up to. Daughters grow up to become awesome mothers and wives if they had that great figure in the home. Now, there are some cases where maybe that's not possible, but if at all possible, this is the ideal structure, to have the man and the woman together, married, raising children together with the man in charge and the woman obeying him. Those children prosper, no doubt about it. Again, strong families are a blessing to society. God reveals how to build our families, which in turn helps to build communities, towns, cities, counties, states, provinces, nations, and the whole world. Very soon, we will get to experience God's family government in perfect, righteous, loving action over all people. What a wonderful world this will be. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.